Lord be with you. Today, the word of the Lord comes to us again from the book of Romans. So hear now the word of the Lord. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But of the righteousness that comes through faith, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven as if to bring Christ down? Or who will descend to the abyss as if to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you. It is on your lips and it is in your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Moses, or Paul, is pointing to Moses as he once again is differentiating between the righteousness that comes by the law and the righteousness that comes through faith. This has been a steady stream in the current of Paul's argument. The righteousness of faith versus the righteousness of the law. He's differentiating between them, and he's been doing this for a while. The righteousness that comes through the law, Paul says, the person who does these things will live by them. If you do the works of the law, you will have life. You'll have salvation. If you do the works of the law, you will have life. You will live by them. But as we've seen earlier in Romans, Paul has already laid out that no one is able to do these works of the law fully. For all have sinned, and there is no one that is righteous, not even one. So we've already looked at that and exhausted that option, but then he turns to the righteousness that comes through faith, the righteousness that comes to us as a gift from the one who is righteous, Jesus Christ. And then he says some funny things. He says, do not think in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven as if to bring Christ down, or who shall ascend to, or descend to the abyss as if to bring Christ up from the dead. Paul is asking a question that many have asked, all have asked. How do we know God? How do we gain access to this God? How do we gain access to the one who gives us righteousness? Do we ascend to the heavens? Do we build ourselves up? Do we look at the highest of our cultural achievements? Do we look at the best of who we are and say, ah, God has to be like this? Is it sitting and listening to Mozart, or is it sitting at a good table with good food and with good friends and saying, this is who God is? Well, no. Is it looking at going down to the abyss, looking at all of the depths of our despair and all of our hurt? Is it going down and seeing where God is in this? Is that how we gain access to God? Is that how we know him? Well, no. The problem is the active verb is still in our hands. We are not the ones who make the way to God. God is not something we ascend to or we dig down deep enough to understand. We are not the ones traversing the way to God, but rather, what does it say? The word is near you. It is on your lips and it is in your heart. In that, the word is making the way. The word is coming to us. God is not just some larger magnification of our best qualities. God is something else. God comes to us. We don't know God just by turning in and looking at ourselves. God comes to us in the word. Now, if you were in the gathering, not yesterday, but a week before, you would have heard Grace talk about the two ways of reading the word. There's the word, scripture, these words, and there's the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. We know God primarily in these ways. We know God in the words of this book. We know God here. We find out that God is a God who creates, who makes covenants and keeps them. God is a God who gives laws and requires something of us. God is a God who redeems. God is a God who comes. God is a God who does not stand far off, but enters into creation and the Word made flesh. God is a God who we understand through the pages of Scripture, but God is a God that we also fully understand in the person of Jesus Christ, the fullest magnification and incarnation of God, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. We see God and understand God because God has stooped down and revealed God's self and God's character to us in the Word and in Jesus. So that's there. And then Paul gives a little bit of a way into this. The Word is near you. The Word comes to you and reveals God to you. And then he says two things. It is on your lips, and it is in your heart. The past several chapters, we've talked about this element of it being on your lips. Part of the Christian identity is those who proclaim the good news, who speak this word, who say good words. Those, if you remember Trigvi's sermon, who have good shoes, who have beautiful feet, who proclaim good, true words about God. We are Christians, and we profess, we proclaim, the word is on our lips. But there's also another aspect. The word is in your heart. I want to commend to you memorizing Scripture. Paul is, I think, commending this to us. The words that are on our lips need to be the words that are in our hearts. Grace spoke that the words on our lips, as we confess them, begin to shape our hearts. But also, we need to get this word deep inside of us. We need to groove this word deep in our soul so that it transforms the words on our lips. The word being in our hearts helps to shape how we view reality, how we view God, how we view ourselves, how we view our vocations, how we view our studies. I want this word to get deep in you. I was offered the gift of scripture memorization a couple years ago. I had done scripture verses, but to offer chunks of scripture, and this actually like revolutionized my interaction with God. It was in spending time in the Word and wrestling with it that I really actually was able to slow down. Reading scripture hasn't come easily to me, and I don't think I'm alone in that. Just looking at the pages, sometimes I don't always see what's there. But in the memorization and getting it in your heart, you take the time to wrestle with it. So actually, I'm gonna put a challenge to you. In 3 weeks, we're gonna start Romans 12. That will be at the gathering in 3 weeks. Romans 12 is a great chapter. All these chapters are great, but Romans 12 is one I like. So in 3 weeks, we're going to start Romans 12. I want you to memorize Romans 12. I want you to memorize it, and then I want you to come tell it to me. And if you tell me Romans 12, if you memorize it and get it in your heart, Grace and I will have you over for dinner. Yeah. And we know how to cook. So we'll have you over for dinner. Can you do this? You can do this. Do this. I want you to get this word deep in your hearts. The word is on your lips, and it is in your heart. This word brings life. This word is an ever-flowing stream. This word is good. And this word points to the one who is good, points to the one who is the bread of life, points to the one who is the water that renews. So take me up on this challenge. You can do it. I'd like to have you over. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have not left us to ourselves, that we are not left to trying to figure out who you are just by looking at ourselves, but you have given us the grace and the gift of your word in Scripture and in Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. I bless you for that. I pray that as we go from here, we will meditate on your word both day and night, as the psalmist says. Give us a renewed energy and love to you and your word. I pray all of these things in your gracious name. Amen.